If you opened the food section of the New York Times yesterday, you were probably tortured by a giant photo of perfectly golden, gooey chocolate chip cookies, the king of cookies. They were invented 80 years ago by Ruth Graves Wakefield, the owner of the Toll House Inn in Whitman, Massachusetts. Now, the story goes that she accidentally dropped pieces of chocolate into her butter drop cookie batter, and the rest, they say, is culinary history. Well, 80 years on, bakers have been trying to perfect the chocolate chip cookie, and it seems at last they have. In a moment, we'll speak to a food scientist about how to build a better chocolate chip cookie. As always, we want to hear from you. Do you have a baking secret you're willing to divulge on national radio? Our number, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And you can leave your baking secrets on our blog. That's npr.org/blogofthenation. Joining us now from the studios of Georgia Public Radio in Atlanta, Shirley Corrier, author of the book Cookwise, about the science of cooking. Her new book, Bakewise, will be in stores in October. Shirley, welcome to the show.
Thank you. There's nothing that makes you feel more loved than a warm cookie.
Why is that? What is it about chocolate chip cookies that makes them seem better than anything humans can bake?
Oh, listen, it makes you know your mama loves you. I tell you, there's just nothing like that warm chocolate chip cookie. Of course, some of our motels even know this, and when you check in, they give you one of those warm chocolate chip cookies.
And then there's not much to chocolate chip cookies, not many ingredients.
Well, there are a lot of secrets, as the article mentioned. One of the great secrets is to make the batter ahead and let it stand in the refrigerator 12, 24, 36 hours.
36 hours.
Yes, Marty Rubin, who makes the most sensational chocolate chip cookies at his city bakery in New York, he sells 1,000 cookies a day.
Shirley, how do you, what does 36 hours in the refrigerator actually do? How does that make cookie dough better?
Oh, okay. Well, number one, cookie doughs are very low moisture. And the only moisture in doughs is usually the little bit of water that is in the butter and the egg, if the recipe has an egg. And chocolate chip cookies do have eggs. So standing that long lets that moisture permeate through the batter, the dough, and spreads the flavors here. It just lets the whole mass sort of amalgamate flavor-wise. The flavors are totally different. If you make a big batch of cookie dough and let it, you know, bake some instantly and save those is number one, and then bake some after 12 hours, bake some more after 24 hours, and bake some more after 36 hours, you will find a number of differences. They get slightly darker in color, and they get more uniform. So if you're using an ice cream scoop or whatever, they're going to be the perfect same size. But the most wonderful thing is the flavor. Oh, taste testers go crazy over those 36-hour cookies.
How do you leave how do you leave cookie dough in the fridge for 36 hours without wanting to consume it? What about salt? There's a lot of salt now being used in sweet things.
Yes, salt has – now, you don't think of salt as saltiness. This is so little salt, you don't taste salty. But salt has an amazing ability to suppress bitterness. Mm. The people at Monell Chemical Synthesis Center do a demo, and they will give you a little sample of tonic water, you know, grocery store quinine water, and you take a sip, and you can taste the bitter quinine and then the sugar water that's in there to make it palatable. And then they put a little bit of salt in the rest of the bottle and give you another sip, and it's almost like sugar water. Salt has this fascinating ability to suppress off flavors and let the other flavors come through. So salt is a potent thing in desserts. You'll always hear pastry chefs saying, Don't forget the salt. It brings out the sweetness, and this is exactly what it does. It suppresses the bitterness so the sweetness and the other flavors in the dough can come through loud and clear.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Shirley Corriher. She's the author of Cookwise, and her new book, Bakewise, is coming out in October. It's about the science of cooking. And I want to read an email from Andrew in St. Peter's, Missouri. Here's his cooking secret, and maybe you can appreciate this being a Southerner. Bacon grease. I put it in almost everything, even cookies.
Now, his bacon grease would have a little salt. So, you know, from that point of view, it would that could possibly be a help. I know a lot of people are going to object if they taste bacon, but if they just get the salt from it, they may just like it a lot.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Kristen is on the line with us from Oakland, California. Kristen, welcome to the program.
Hi there. How are you?
Hi. What's your secret?
I've been a pastry cook for about 4 years in some San Francisco restaurants, and my secret is that I always try to start with room temperature butter. It's just easier to mix the dough in general, but if you have a KitchenAid mixer and you get a blowtorch, you can use that blowtorch to actually heat up your cold butter if you're really in a hurry to make the batter. You can hold it against the bowl and for about 2 second intervals until your butter is soft.
What about that? Does pre-softening your butter have any sort of scientific or chemical impact?
Not in my mind, it just makes it really easy. Mm-hmm. That's all. But I definitely have that tip for people if you're really in a hurry to make that batter. I mean, to kind of cut down that 36 hours.
Right. That's a great tip for warming butter fast. You can also put a stick of butter just about 10 seconds in the microwave. Mm. That will help too. And the reason you want the butter soft enough to spread around, it's very difficult in a restaurant kitchen to mix big batches uniformly. So this would certainly help with uniform mixing.
Mm-hmm. Kristen, thanks so much for the call.
Thanks so much.
I want to ask you a question, Shirley Corriher. When making a cheesecake, toward the end, you've got to fold the eggs into it, but just gently fold the eggs into it. Otherwise, you're going to get a cracked cheesecake. Can you explain why that is?
Actually, this is an old wives' tale. The reason cheesecakes crack, the only reason, is that you have overbaked it. Now, I know you'll tell somebody, that's impossible. Uh-huh. The center of my cheesecake, a whole 3 or 4 inch circle was jiggling like, you know, runny jello. Well, you've got to – this is the most deceptive thing in all of cooking, is whether a cheesecake is done or not. You have to just have great faith. And a lot of recipes tell you to leave the cheesecake in the oven and let it cool down. But now, even after an hour in the oven, I have taken a cheesecake out, and it was still totally jiggly. Hmm. And I have to say, is it really going to work? Is it really? I can't believe this is done. But when I put it in the fridge for an hour, it is set up and it is done.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry about that, but the only reason cheesecakes crack is they're overcooked.
I want to read an email from Sally in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. She writes, once I mistook chili powder for cinnamon when making apple pie. Then I added cinnamon. The chili powder helped cut the sweetness, and I've made it a secret ingredient. Have you heard of that before?
Well, I think that's a good secret ingredient. Yes, yes, you can certainly do amazing things. If you've got too much chili in something, you can add a little sugar and a little vinegar, and maybe now I'll add cinnamon to that tip.
Let's go to Sumshi in Louisville, Kentucky. Is that right, Sumshi?
Hey, yeah, my name's Sumshi. How you doing?
Hey.
I just kind of about 6 months ago started learning how to do bread and cookies, and I found that I didn't have any butter one afternoon, And so I thought, well, mayonnaise is greasy. Let's try that. And nobody can figure out what it is about my cookies. It's so amazing. Mayonnaise instead of butter.
Mayonnaise.
It's delightful. I'll be honest with you. I would eat concrete if you put mayonnaise on it. So I'm buying. But it worked out really well, and hardly anybody can figure it out, and everybody loves it. So
Shirley, does that make scientific sense?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well,
yeah, well, mayonnaise is a high percentage fat, and it has an egg. There are mayonnaise cakes that use mayonnaise in place of the oil and part of the eggs. So you've just hit upon, and of course, if you buy really good mayonnaise, the flavor's great too. So I think that's a great secret weapon.
And there's something else I might want to suggest to you about regarding breads, and I'll be very, very quick.
Very brief.
Try things like thinning out some cream of mushroom soup instead of using water and into the bread as the wet ingredient, or V8 juice. It makes an incredible bread.
Thanks so much for the tips. And before we go, Shirley, any last-minute tip for our listeners, one secret you can give them?
Well, for crumbly cookies, the reason cookies are so crumbly, there's so much fat, it greases those flour proteins, so they can't grab each other and water and form gluten. So if you've just got a major crumbly cookie problem, take a cup of the flour that you're going to use in the recipe and sprinkle a tablespoon of water over it and toss it around. Then use that in the recipe, and you will cut down on your crumbliness tremendously.
I'm going to try that tonight. Shirley, thanks for joining us.
With my pleasure, Guy. And out there, happy cooking.
Shirley Corrier is the author of Cookwise. She joined us from the studios at Georgia Public Radio in Atlanta. Tomorrow, Ira Flatow will be here with Science Friday. Neil Conan is back on Monday. I'm Guy Raz. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.